And Psalm 119 is a wonderful passage of Scripture, a very lengthy psalm, of course, the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, and there's so much within Psalm 119 about God's Word, and I'm thankful to have God's Word, aren't you? And what a blessing to have a Bible. We know that God's Word is powerful, it's profitable, it's been preserved for us, and we're so blessed to have a Bible. This evening, we're going to look at a few verses from Psalm 119, and the subject, as I mentioned this morning, and you see on the bulletin, the title for the message this evening is Finish Well. And the subject of finishing is often discussed. I think about the idea of finish. In my mind, immediately I begin to think about a race. I think about either a race where you're running, a race where you're driving, some type of race. And something that is interesting about a race and something that's interesting about finishing is that you know where the finish line is. Does that make sense? We're in a race. If we're going to stand up here and say, hey, Zachary, I think I can run faster than you, and we're going to go outside and we're going to have a foot race, and I'm going to tell him that's where the finish line is, right? And we know where we're running to. We know that there's a finish line. If we don't establish the finish line, then we don't know who wins the race. Does that make sense? If I am going to race against Zachary and I'm beating him for part of the time and then he pulls ahead and I say, well, I won because we already passed the finish line, but we never established what the finish line was. Or we don't establish the finish line and we run and run and run until I get tired because I'm old and then he eventually passes me because he's young and he says, I won because there was no established finish line. Does that make sense tonight? And here's something. So when you think about finishing in most of our experiences in life, there's a known finish line. There's a spot. There's a position, a place, a location that we're seeking to get to. When we talk about finishing, as we speak about our lives and as we evaluate our lives, there's something very important that we must acknowledge, and that is that we do not know where the finish line is. I don't know where my finish line is, and neither do you. Let me prove it to you. You don't need to turn to any of these passages. I'm just going to reference them. But in James chapter number 4, the Bible tells us that our life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. David said this in 1 Samuel chapter number 20 when he's running from Saul, because Saul had every intent on killing David. He made this statement, "There's but a step between me and death." Now, we understand that that was something that was very real for David because of the intent of Saul and because Saul had made it known that that's what he wanted to do. And David was fleeing, and David really was in a position where he knew there's but a step between me and death. But I've often said to people that the reality for you and for me is that there's but a step between me and death. I don't know when death is going to come. Neither do you. But I would submit to you this evening that that's the finish line. But then let me remind you of this, as God's people, in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 37, the Lord, we have this truth, this promise, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Jesus is coming back, and I don't know the time or the hour, and neither do you. But when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, guess what? Finished. The race is finished. Would you agree? When the trumpet sounds, when the trumpet of the Lord sounds, the race is ended. Amen? Think about this in James 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The book of Revelation in Revelation 22 and verse number 20, not the last verse of the Bible, but the second to last verse of the Bible says this, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And this evening, I want you to understand and I want you to acknowledge with me that our life, if we could take the and adopt the analogy that the Apostle Paul uses, really speaking to the church in Corinth there in 1 Corinthians 9, even making reference to it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, which we'll look at in just a little while this evening, that our life is likened to a race. We understand that we can look at Hebrews chapter number 12 and we understand that we're to run this race, and we understand that as we consider the truth of Hebrews chapter number 12, when the Bible tells us, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, notice, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so this evening, as we consider the subject of finishing, I believe that it's important that we acknowledge that we don't know when our race is going to end. With that being said, it must mean, it must lead us to a place that I run every day like today might be the last day. You know, I never ran track. I don't have the build for running track. I played other sports. I enjoy playing sports. I did have to run in a number of the sports I played, of course. But in that understanding of running a race, and you think about that last leg of the race, and if you ever ran track, if you're involved in running a race in that sense, you put it all on the line. I mean, you can see the finish line. You're getting to the end, and you want to finish with nothing left in the tank. That's the idea. You don't want to finish the race and be like, man, I could run again. Because if you do that, then you didn't really put it all in there. And we think about our lives and we think about the subject of finishing. And yes, it's a subject that's often discussed, but some people have the idea, and it's unfortunate, but they have the idea that I have 25 years, I have 35 years, I have 45 years. And I know that I've said this before, but I was here as the pastor for just a few months, and a man came to my office and asked me this question. He said, how is it, Pastor, can you give me counsel on how I can serve God in my retirement years? And I promise you, it happens so often that people say, can I meet with you? And I have no idea what they want to meet with me about. And it's always like, wonder what this is going to be all about. And I pray for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. God, you know what they're going to ask. And Lord, help me to be able to give a Bible answer. And I remember when that question was asked, it was asked by somebody that was about a year younger than I was. I started pastoring the church when I was 31 years old. So this person was just hitting their 30th birthday and asking me, how can I serve God when I retire? My answer, serve God today. Serve God today. The reality is that I know that there's much planning that takes place in our society with regard to retirement, and I'm not against retirement planning. But I want you to understand that there are plenty of people that have planned for retirement that never reached retirement. There's a piece of property that's adjacent to our church property. It sits just out there. And the individual that bought that property in 1978 bought that property with the intent of retiring on that property. They bought that property in 1978. They lived over in Falls Church, and they were working and doing their career and finishing their things, and they had a plan that they would retire from their job and they would build a house on that piece of land. Can I tell you, just about a year before they would reach retirement age, they went home to glory. Well, I don't know if they went to glory. They passed it. Their life was ended. They never built a house there. That property was sold to somebody else, and a developer put two houses on that property. I'm not trying to say that that's poor planning on their part. I'm just simply saying we don't know when our life is going to end. And so if we want to finish well, and that's our goal, then we must run the race daily, like today might be the last day. Today could be when I cross the finish line. Think about what Paul says to the churches as he's writing to these churches in the region of Galatia. The book of Galatians is written to those churches that were established during that first missionary journey. And the Apostle Paul says this in Galatians 5 in verse number 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Can I tell you there's a lot of factors that we face that try to keep us from finishing well? A lot of factors. It's not so much about how we started the race as much as how we finished the race. Now, we ought to desire to start well and to run well throughout the duration of the race, but man, we want to finish strong and finish well. And I begin to think about what the psalmist says here in Psalm 119. And I know I have referenced verse 112, and that will be the last verse that we look at there that's noted in the bulletin. But I want you to draw your attention to verse 33. We're going to look at three different statements or references that the psalmist makes here in Psalm 19 that I hope will help us with this idea of finishing well. The Bible says in verse number 33 of Psalm 19, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." The desire of the psalmist is revealed there in verse number 33, this request, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." You know, we ought to have a teachable spirit. We ought to have a desire to be taught the truth of God's word. I am so thankful that we have a Bible. I'm so thankful that God wants to teach us and instruct us. The Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. And we find that the psalmist comes with this measure of humility, this desire to be taught of the Lord. And of course, we find that what it is that he desires to be taught is the way of thy statutes. But we find this, that the psalmist not only reveals this purpose, if you will, or this desire, if you will, but then says, "And I shall keep it." I'll look at the end of the verse in just a moment, but I want you to think about the intent of the psalmist. He says, "Teach me and I will keep it." And the desire on the part of the psalmist to be taught from the Lord the truth of God's word, but then a commitment that I shall keep it. And notice he says, "unto the end." I don't know when the end will be, and neither do you. Psalm 19, the psalm most likely written by David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. We don't know that for 100% certainty. But I would say that even for David or anyone else, humanly speaking, that would be used of the Lord to write this psalm, they too did not know when the end would be. In fact, as I mentioned earlier by way of introduction, it was David that made the statement in 1 Samuel 20, "There's but a step between me and death." Now, we understand that David did not die when he was fleeing from Saul. We understand, because we can read the entirety of the account, that he did not die from the hand of Saul. In fact, he outlived Saul. Amen? You read the history, you can understand the life of David. David went in and out of many battles, and God spared him, and God provided divine protection for him. But there came a day when David died. It wasn't at the hands of Absalom. He outlived him as well. But he died. He knew that the time was nearing, and those around him did things to try to prolong his life, but there came a day that he entered into eternity. Before that passing, he shared instruction with his son Solomon and gave instruction and gave a charge, and we're thankful to have a record of that. But he makes this statement in Psalm 19 and verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." It's the idea of I'm going to learn the truth of the Bible, and I'm going to apply and do and obey and keep it, and I'm going to do it every day. Why? Because unto the end. I don't know when the end will be. Notice, if you will, over in verses 43 and 44, just down a little bit, here in Psalm 19, the Bible says this in verse 43, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." We find that as we look at these two verses of Scripture, again, the psalmist declaring his desire and his intent, he says, "Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth." Oh, I hope that you love God's word and you don't want to forget it. He said earlier in the text of Scripture here in Psalm 19, in verse number 16, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." And we find that he says, "Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." We come to the truth of God's word, and it gives us confidence. It gives us that assurance that what God has said is true and will come to pass. But then notice in verse 44, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." He doesn't use the phrase "unto the end" as he did in verse 33, but the idea is still there. And he says that he would keep it continually. And again, this is that daily practice of applying God's word in the life of an individual. Sometimes, and we know the reality, we know the truth, but sometimes we've been deceived by the enemy to think that, man, I have more time, I have time to do whatever, and we think that we're going to die in an old age, and it may be that we die in an old age, but there are plenty of people that die in their youth. Plenty. I don't enjoy doing it. In fact, I've never actually done it. I can only do it in my mind. I'm sure I could go physically and do it. I've just never had the real desire to do it. But you can go through a cemetery or a graveyard and you can look at markers and you can find that all those markers, there's no care of age. You go through and you'll find that there are infants, there are toddlers, there are children, there are teenagers, young adults, senior citizens. All of them, right? Death has no care for age. I sat in the room with a man, Chris. His wife was dying of cancer. As I sat in the room with that man and tried to help he and his wife through that process, and it was a difficulty. They had young children at home still, and it was just a sad situation. And she had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and there was really everything that medical professions could do had been accomplished, and it just was to the point where there was, humanly speaking, there was nothing that could be done, and she would soon enter into eternity, and she did. But as I sat there in their living room that day, she had a confident expectation of salvation and going to heaven when she died because she had trusted Christ as her Savior when she was a young girl. And that brought me great comfort and encouragement. The husband, on the other hand, was lost, and he knew it. And I remember sitting there talking to him, and as his wife would fade in and out and eventually fade out, she didn't die at that moment, but she just was not very coherent for the remainder of that visit. And I looked at that man and I said, listen, I understand what the doctors have said. You've communicated it to me. And I understand that the expectation here is that your wife will soon die and that you and I and your children will outlive her. But can I tell you, I might die on my way back to the office today. I was just in Chantilly visiting with them. I said, I just have no idea. You might die going to the office tomorrow. You have no idea. I know we don't like to think about that, but it's the reality. And so if we want to finish well, we have to live each day like it's the last day. We have to live each day understanding that not only could death come, but we could hear the trumpet of the Lord. And I'd rather hear the trumpet of the Lord than face death, but the reality is that we understand as we examine the Scriptures that our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And so the psalmist is revealing to us here this desire that he has, that I will keep thy law continually forever and ever. And by the way, as we look at verse 33 and we look at verse number 44 and this idea of keeping the truth of God's Word, keeping thy statutes, keeping thy law, this is how we're going to finish well, because we'll be pleasing in God's sight, because we're doing what God has called us to do. We come to verse 112 as you forward into this particular psalm, and notice what the Bible says here in verse number 112. He says this, I have inclined mine heart, notice what it says, to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. There's purpose in this statement, is there not? The Bible says, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway. This was not a haphazard approach to life. This was not a, hey, if I have convenience to obey your word, I will. If it just kind of fits in, then I'll do it. And no, this was a purpose. I mean, he says, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes. Notice what he says, alway. Alway, at all times. And he says, even unto the end. Again, I submit to you, you don't know when the end is. But the resolve, the desire, the intent, the purpose of this statement and of the psalmist in these three verses that we've looked at is to finish well, to finish strong. That I want to, I've inclined mine heart, I've to do what? To perform thy statutes alway. Begin to think about these statements of the psalmist and thinking about those truths that we see there in the New Testament that I read some of them to you by way of introduction. And for your life and for my life, and it is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away, the question for us is, how can we finish well? If we were to go outside and, as I said by way of introduction, set up a race, and we had some cones and a finish line and had some people holding a ribbon at the end, we'd know where the finish line is. We'd know where we have to kick it into that final gear, if you will, to finish as strong. And we laid it all out. And if we didn't win, we know that we put it all in. And in your life and in my life, how can we finish well spiritually? Notice what Paul said in Acts chapter 20. We'll look at a few verses of Scripture in the New Testament. And I want you to just consider with me some things, the thoughts this evening. And I hope that you would have, we come to a close of a year. I know it's not the last Sunday of the year. In fact, on the last Sunday of the year, on December the 28th, I'm going to preach a message. I was working on a little bit this afternoon that I've entitled, Five Tips for a Successful Year. Five Tips for a Successful Year. That message will go hand in hand with this message this evening. But in Acts chapter 20, when we think about finishing well, I want you to notice what Paul says in verse number 24. In Acts chapter 20, in verse number 24, Paul says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I begin to think about Paul making this statement. He's writing, speaking to the church leaders of the church at Ephesus here in Acts chapter 20. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and quite frankly, he didn't know what would befall him there. He didn't know what he would face there. And we find that as he's dealing with and sharing with them, in fact, he mentioned in verse 22, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, he's going and he's uncertain as to what's going to take place. He says in chapter 21, after they were trying to keep him from going, that I'm ready now to be bound, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul is saying, as he speaks to these church leaders of Ephesus here in Acts 20, he says that I want to finish my course with joy. But Paul, how long is your course? Paul, when is your course going to end? Well, he says he didn't know what was going to befall him. He says in chapter 21, and again, if you consider what's taking place there and you see the things that are going on, notice, if you will, in verse number 10 and catch it in context. In Acts 21 and verse 10, it says, "And when he was," verse 10, "and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us," notice what it says, "he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when he heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem." And that's when Paul answered, and I mentioned in verse 13 a moment ago, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, did he die when he got there? No. His course actually went longer than dying when he got to Jerusalem. But what if he had, and it's that idea, I don't know how much longer I have. You don't know how much longer you have. He said, "But I have plans, I understand. And it's okay to have plans." And I'll mention that in a couple of Sunday nights, and to have that aspect of redeeming the time. But this evening, if I'm going to finish well, I got to run every day, like today is the last day. Because what happens is we can get comfortable. Listen, the enemy wants to distract you. The enemy wants you to think you got all kinds of time. Just enjoy life a little bit. I mean, you're just a teenager. You're just kind of getting into the prime of your life. I mean, just really, just enjoy it. I mean, it's all, no. Plenty of teenagers have passed on into eternity. I'm not trying to scare anyone here this evening. I'm just simply saying we need to finish well. And if we're going to finish well, we got to run every day like today might be the finish line. Notice with me that Paul says that in Acts chapter 20, and then forward with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. You're familiar with this portion of Scripture. It's oft quoted, and just last year we had as a theme continue for our church, and we went through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, and I love how Paul ends it here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and speaking about his life and all that's going on, and we find here that there were several years that passed between Paul speaking to those leaders of the church at Ephesus in Acts 20 and what we read here in 2 Timothy 4. But notice what Paul says in verse number 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." God revealed that to him. Can I tell you this evening, God is not necessarily going to reveal to every single one of us when our time of departure is going to be at hand. What do I mean by that? People that die suddenly, right? You think about those people that were on that airplane that crashed in D.C. I know I asked this when shortly after it happened, but how many of you have ever flown into Reagan and on that same trajectory, and you've seen the water as you're coming in? How many of you see that? Sometimes I'm sitting there on that side, the left side of the airplane, and I'm looking out at that water, and I'm like, that guy needs to pull up a little bit. The water's getting kind of close. You ever feel that way when you're going in there? And I just can't even imagine. Bam. Just, those people had plans. Listen, there were people at the airport to pick them up. Again, I'm not trying to scare anybody this evening. I'm just simply saying, it's not always the case that we're laying on a deathbed in a position where we've lived to 80, 90, 100 years old, and we know that the doctors have come in and everything is, and that's, no, we don't always know it that way. And so if I want to finish well, I gotta know that, man, every day. He says that the time of my departure is at hand. Again, God is not necessarily going to reveal that time of departure for every one of us like he did here to Paul or for Paul. Verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." See, every day Paul had to fight a good fight. Every day Paul had to run that leg of the race, of the course, in order to be able to say, "I have finished my course." And every day he had to keep the faith. I often think about this portion of Scripture that the Apostle Paul here, this did not happen on accident. This was purposed. He said back in Acts 20 that I might finish my course with joy. It was a deliberate purpose. Think about the psalmist and those psalms that we read in Psalm 19, verse 33, verse 44, verse 112. This idea that teach me, don't let the word depart out of my mouth. I will perform unto the end. This purpose, this intent of the psalmist. And we find here that Paul, he reveals that to us in Acts 20 and verse 24, and now he comes to the end. As I think about this portion of Scripture, it's not just that he finished, but he finished well. It's not just that he finished, but he finished well. See, we are going to finish our race. Do you believe that tonight? We are all going to finish our race, every one of us. I don't know when, you don't know when, but every one of us is going to finish our race. The question is, how are we going to finish? Will we finish well? See, how do I know Paul finished well? Well, notice it says that I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Notice I have kept the faith. You know, it's a disappointing thing for me when you see those that have served the Lord for a period of time and they get older and they start to depart from the faith. It's disappointing. It happens often. It's unfortunate. It's not always the case. There are many that finish well, that keep the faith, just as Paul did. But there are times in which you can look at different individuals and these prominent figures, if you will, and say, man, look at what they believed then, but now look at what they believe now. What happened? What changed? And no, for Paul, he says, I've kept the faith. The faith's been delivered to us. We have God's word. We don't need to deviate from it. We don't need to compromise on it. We just keep on keeping on and doing what God's called us to do. Look over at 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to finish with this couple of familiar verses of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's really just think about finishing well. And I don't know, None of us know how long we're going to live. None of us know. Somebody said this, a pastor friend of mine, he was preaching at one of the conferences that I went to here in Virginia. And he said, someone asked me if I was dying. And I said, yeah, I just don't know what from because I don't go to the doctor. And he's like, I don't really want to know. And it's kind of a comical situation when he made that statement, but he was being transparent. He was being honest. And here, as we think about our lives, we see this admonition, if you will, that Paul gives. And 1 Corinthians 15 is a powerful passage of Scripture dealing with the resurrection, and it's so just precious. And he comes to the end stretch, if you will, and he says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law." We find, and I'm going to read verses 57 and 58 in just a moment, but you see here in this passage, he talks about this truth of in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's faster than I can click my fingers. You know, the reality, as we spoke about that second aspect in way of introduction, that the Lord's return is drawing nigh. He that said that he would come, he's going to come. The Bible says that he will not tarry. Sometimes you'll hear somebody, I've heard it many times over the years, if the Lord tarries his coming. No, the Bible says that he will not tarry. Can I tell you that he came just on time the first time, and he's going to come right on time the second time? He's not going to be a minute late, a second late, he's going to be right on time. And here's the reality, that there's nothing that you or I are going to be able to do to say, let me fix this. You're not even going to be able to have that thought, because it's just going to be faster than that. And so as we look here and we understand again what Paul is dealing with in this truth of, and by the way, listen, I'm thankful that this mortal is going to put on immortality, that this corruption is going to put on incorruption. Aren't you thankful? I mean, to God be the glory. But he says this in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, we can have victory today in our lives. We can have victory. And we know that we're on the winning side. We understand. We've read the book of Revelation. We know the end, but we can have victory today. And he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren." So knowing the truth of this mortal putting on immortality, this corruption putting on incorruption, this truth of being changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, understanding what our future is, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," notice, "be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." This is a wonderful portion of Scripture that encourages us to press forward. And this evening, I hope that every one of us, if we were to go around the room or we were to be surveyed on our way in this evening or even as we leave this evening and say, "Do you want to finish well?" I hope every single one would say, "Yes, I want to finish well. I don't want to just finish. I want to finish well. I want to finish strong." And there's some things that we must do in our lives today. There's some decisions that we need to make today. There's a need for us to say, as the psalmist said there, "Teach me," right? And I will keep, I will perform. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to apply truth. I'm going to live for Christ. And I'm going to do it continually. I'm going to do it forever and ever. I'm going to do it unto the end. You say, "But pastor, when's the end?" I don't know. And neither do you. But we know that it will come. It will come. Every one of us will cross the finish line. We just don't know when. And I know that I used the silly illustration to begin of having a race with Zachary. And wouldn't it be crazy to be running against him and I'm just ahead of him and say, "All right, I won." He's like, we didn't get the finish line. I didn't tell him where the finish line was. See, because we're so used to knowing where a finish line is. But in the race of life, we don't know where the finish line is. We have no idea. So today must be lived like it's our last day. And if it's not our last day, we get to do it again tomorrow. Amen? We get to live for Jesus again. We get to serve Him again. We get to tell somebody about Him again. We get to love Him more and more. Amen? And if today is the last day, if I finish my race today, then I want to finish well, finish strong, doing what He's called me to do. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Thank You for loving us. God, none of us know where that finish line is. You do, and we rest in that. We know that. We know that our life is in Your hand. We know that there's an appointed time, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. We don't know the day nor the hour, and we don't want to. In fact, when it was revealed to Saul how he would die, when he would die, it absolutely paralyzed him. God, I pray that You would just help each of us here this evening to make a commitment, decision, determination that we're going to finish well with Your grace, by Your grace, with Your help, that we want to finish well. We will finish, but how will we finish? God, help us to purpose as the Apostle Paul did. Help us, Lord, to have the attitude of the psalmist of being teachable and desiring to know Your word and purposing in our lives to perform, to keep Thy statutes, that we might live each day honoring and glorifying Thee, knowing that today could be the finished day. Lord, I pray that in the moment of invitation that You would work in hearts and lives. I pray that You would help us, Lord, to just truly examine our own hearts, Lord. Help us to not necessarily be affrighted, but Lord, help us to be determined that we want to live for You each day so that we might finish well. We'll give You the glory for all that You'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me?